For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You guys, I am so, so excited to have on Overshare today, Red Carpet Roxy, aka Roxy Manning, aka the host of an amazing podcast called Women on Top.
Do you remember your first handle ever, your screen name back in the day?
Do you remember dial-up?
Absolutely. Because it was like a very big controversy because if you're on the computer, then no one could call. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Overshare, the podcast. It's me, Lily, and I'm here with Jocelyn, and we are still not together because... You know, the world is still ending in more ways than usual. But shall we just get into our first segment?
Let's dive into it, please.
So, over it.
What she said.
But before we start, should we tell them the announcement?
Yes, we should tell them the big announcement, which
tell
is...
Tell them the news!
You guys, we got a phone number!
We want you guys to call the phone number to tell us what you're over, because you know how we always forget to think of something, basically? Well, this is going to be our way of not forgetting, because we're going to have you guys call and leave a voicemail and tell us what you're over in your life.
Yep. And we're going to be incorporating it into this little show, which I'm very excited about because we've never done anything like this. Even back in the day, we've never had a phone number. So this is exciting.
We've never taken calls, but also if you could keep them to under 3 minutes, that would be great.
Under 3 minutes. And the phone number is 562-661-8729. Over it. Call us.
We should come up with like a jingle. Like, I feel like there's like car dealerships and stuff that sing them, but like then everyone will remember.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll definitely work on that. I love singing.
We'll both work on it. Okay. What are you over?
Okay. I'm so sick of cooking, Lily. I'm so sick of cooking.
Me always.
And you know, Chris and I, even before quarantine, we definitely cook like all of our meals.
Actually, back up.
What?
You're so sick of cooking. Literally, if you go to her Instagram stories, you act like you fucking love it.
Well, here's the thing. I do enjoy it. But here's the truth. It is the truth that I enjoy it. But I think having to do it and not having a choice to enjoy my culinary festivities is what's annoying, because it's starting to make me not like it, because I do enjoy cooking, but only like...
Sounds like you're flip-flopping.
Only like 4 days a week though. I told my aunt this, my auntie M, the one who's very invested in you and what's going on with you. And she just literally laughed in my face and was like, just wait till you have children, then we can talk. And I was like, what? I was like, but won't the restaurants be open then?
Nope. They're never opening again.
Maybe
you'll be lucky though, and you'll have a picky eater like me, and then you just don't have to make that many things.
I'll only make them dinosaur chicken nuggets.
I am a picky eater.
Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy cooking like up to 4 nights a week, but the other 3 nights, mama wants to go to like, I don't know, somewhere out of this house. Get me out of here.
That's more than I'm cooking.
I know, but like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm sick of all the stuff I make. I need new recipes. So if any of you guys listening or watching have any good, healthy, under 15 minute recipes, hit me up. What are you sick of, Lil? What are you over?
I am sick of not having any shows that I'm really into right now.
Oh my gosh. Have you watched Entourage?
Yes.
Have you watched Ballers? Ballers is great.
I actually don't know if I have. No, what I'm also sick of on a similar note is that movie releases keep getting pushed. I don't have any specifically in mind right now, but I feel like I'll always Google like 2020 thrillers and I'll like go through this list and be like, oh, like these three sound great. And then I go and search each one of them and it's like, nope, it doesn't exist yet.
Well, here's the even crazier thing. Right now, the movies that are getting released are films that were shot like a year ago, 2 years ago. Literally, in probably 6 months to a year,
we're just going to run out.
We will have nothing. We will literally have nothing.
What are we going to do?
You and I need to make a film. You and I need to make a film, and we will release it, and we will make gazillions of dollars off of this. I'm telling you.
What is the premise of this gazillion dollar making film?
It's going to be a buddy comedy. Okay. That's all I've got so far.
If you had said anything else, it wouldn't have even remotely been something we could even pretend like we're entertaining. So good job.
But you know what? We do have a friend who's written a film. So we'll just ask Megan to write it for us.
I was like, who?
Megan Rinks. So I think maybe if she'll do it for us, then we could pay her in a couple of years.
I was going to say, but how does that work? Is that just like by proxy, like by association, we can do it too then?
Well, don't you feel like we could make a film? Don't you think we could? Why not?
Uh-huh.
All right. So, well,
should we move on to our guest and what we're oversharing this week?
Yes, I'm very excited about our guest. It's someone I've been friends with for a really, really long time. You guys, I am so, so excited to have on Overshare today, Red Carpet Roxy, aka Roxy Manning, aka the host of an amazing podcast called Women on Top, and someone who I have to say, I don't even know if you know this, Roxy, I have known for a really long time, probably over 10 years, and who was so nice to me when I was first starting out covering red carpets, when I was literally like drooling on myself, and you were already glamorous. You already had your shit together. And look at you now. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you. I love that intro. I'm like, oh my God, I totally felt like I was drooling the whole time too.
This was like back in the day, first off, when red carpets used to happen. Mm-hmm. And I am so curious to know from you because like Red Carpet Roxy, hello, you're like the pro on this.
Jocelyn's very concerned about your name.
do you think red carpets are ever coming back?
Well, at this point, I feel like I should change my name to Zoom Carpet Roxy.
Very, very topical.
There we go. Right? That is a great question. I think that is like the million-dollar question because with the current state that we're in, like the way that people are feeling about what's going on, I don't see how a red carpet can exist because I know I did hear though about an event that happened a little while back where I think they tried to do a red carpet, but it just didn't, you know, pan out well. So that is actually, I would love to know myself because, you know, I built my career sort of on this and had to pivot now, you know?
I mean, if it does come back, it could be actually really working in your favor. Cause I feel like, I mean, I haven't done many a red carpet, but I've been on a few and it's a lot of tight spaces and shoulders and elbows and people just trying to get their spot. What if it was a social distancing carpet? So then you really actually had your own spot.
That is kind of with our like plexiglass.
Exactly.
On the side
it's like they like, can't even like, oh, I'm just going to put my bag or my stool here. Nope. Can't do that. Stay on your side.
Yes,
could be a dream come true, actually.
You know what? Because that is like half the problem when you're out there. It's like people are like pushing and it's like so cramped and like the cameramen are trying to get their cameras in and you're just trying to do your thing. And
I think that's one of the reasons that I never wanted to do it. It's way high stress and not because of the celebrities, but because of the other side, because you're literally trying to like box people out for your space.
But you know what? That's the funny thing, right? Is that like so many people I met, especially when I was like first starting out freelancing, people like you who were like such a pro, like knew what you were doing. The reason that we all got to know each other over the years is because we're literally, like, quite literally on top of each other. You know what I mean?
Really in each other's personal space.
I don't know if the general public realizes that unless you're, of course, like E! News or like CNN or something, mm-hmm. you are, you know, next to the person, standing next to the person, you know, that's reporting next to you with like, I mean, your faces might be touching. Mm-hmm. Right?
Not everyone gets a platform.
Well, that's the thing too. And I always tell people, I'm like, I can tell who's had like a cocktail or two because you're literally and maybe it was even me that had the cocktail or two. I don't know. But you know, you're literally on top of one another. So it is a very intimate experience, you know?
It is.
And then you're like competing for the attention of all of these people too. So it's like, if you don't have that much space and someone like gets in front of you, then you might miss out on an interview. So you have to be really aggressive.
Yes. It's
so
true.
To hear that you were nice, very impressive.
Yeah, no, it's true. You have to like fight for your time, you know?
And that's what's so interesting, little segue here about doing podcasts is that, you know, you get to have this like solid amount of time with the guest where you can like go deeper, ask more than one question. Mm-hmm. And your show, oh my gosh, you guys. By the way, you have to go subscribe to Roxy's show, which is co-hosted by Tamin Sursok, which by the way, I used to cover Pretty Little Liars like every freaking day. Love her. You guys get the wildest people on your show. Like, just give us a little morsel of goodness as far as like, who are some of your favorite guests you've had on?
Oh my God. Well, we literally just this morning wrapped our show with Glennon Doyle, which was game changer. I mean, literally, you guys, like, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read her books, but literally, I mean, she unlocks, I think, and I feel like this is kind of a universal with her. She unlocks something in everyone. Like, you resonate with her words, like, on one level or another. So to have her in person on our podcast was just like, like the heavens were opened, you know, like,
how do you even decide what to ask her?
I mean, that's part of the problem, right? Because it's like, you want to ask her so much, but it's so funny. We just kind of let the conversation flow and it just went to all these like very like organic places. I mean, we talked everything from like, you know, our kids to parenthood, to sexuality, to Abby, her wife, to, you know, raising it. I mean, it was just like there was some, and it just like flowed. And she just is that cool person, you know? And like, you know, we were dropping F-bombs and like, you know, it was like girls, it was like friends hanging out, like just talking, just wrapping up. But of course with her like knowledge, her amazing knowledge that she's dropping, you know, like the whole time, kind of just unbelievable.
And that's how I honestly felt when I was, so like, girl, you know, child of the 90s, obviously, mm-hmm. 90210, we've already discussed 90210 on this podcast, mm-hmm. but the fact that you were just having like, and I don't know if you already know Tori Spelling, but you were having this chat with her that was just like, I felt like she was telling you secrets I had never heard her talk about before.
That one was wild too, because it was like, again, like it felt like being like at a restaurant with your girlfriends and just like shooting the shit. Sorry, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, yes. We have no rules here. Okay, we have no rules.
Good. I love it. Yeah, so like shooting the shit, you know, it was like literally, you know, Tamin and Tori and myself, we sat down and it was like, it was so natural, you know? It was like, we talked about her childhood and then we got into 90210 and then she started like telling us all these little gems that were just like
that all of them were hooking up with each other. Like, I didn't know that.
Right. I know. And they, and you know, it was funny because when we were talking to her about it, she was telling us, well, we were like, of course you were, because you know, it's like in your prime, you know, you're just like coming of age and everyone's like, you know,
like a bunch of hot people together.
Yeah, exactly. Throw them in a room, you know, and they're with each other, you know, 18 hours a day. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But it was like the little jewel she told us about, like when they were shooting and like the special, you know, she told us about the last scene of 90210 when David and Donna got married and like the fact that they broke their vows. I mean,
well, I always think it's interesting with stuff like that because I feel like they might not realize how interesting it is to other people. So like them telling it is like just like a casual conversation. But to you guys, it's like, oh my God.
I know.
It's like you feel like you're privy to something, you know, like they're letting you in, you know?
It's crazy. Anyways, I'm a big fan of the show. Also, you guys have probably talked about this, but how did you and Tamin meet each other? Because, I mean, she's an icon playing Jenna all those years on PLL. I've watched every episode of the show. Okay. Like, I'm a real fan.
It's a long-running show.
Wait, I love that you guys have seen it because you know that I still have never seen an episode
Stop
of it.
You have to watch it.
I have to watch it because it seems like it would be so, right up my alley.
It's funny because I see so much on Twitter about it now, specifically about the Lucy Hale's character, her relationship with a teacher that everyone was just like totally okay with. And we were all just like, yeah, he's hot. It's fine. So no, not okay.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that amongst a lot of other things in that show. But it's a wild ride. I would say, like, if you want a great weekend binge, but honestly, it will probably take you 2 months.
Yeah. Right? Because there's so many. That show ran for, like, what? Like, 8, 9, 7 seasons, something, right?
A long time. A really long time. Lily's doing some research right now. But did you guys meet, like, through your kids? You're both moms.
7 seasons.
Yes. So 7 seasons. Damn.
7 seasons. Wow. It's a long time. I mean, for TV shows, that's a
for
long time.
For sure.
We actually met, so our kids currently go to school with each other, but we had actually, the first time we met was through a group that we're in, comprised of like moms who work in creative industries and like the fashion industry and entertainment. So we first sort of met through that, but I would say our relationship got cemented when our kids started going to school together because we spent more time together. And so we just always had a very natural flow with our conversations with each other, even though we're very opposite. You know, like, I'm definitely more extroverted and out there. Tamman tends to run a little more deep, you know, more, you know, she's not as like, you know, out, like, out there crazy as I am. Well, crazy in her own way. Crazy in her own way. But
in a great way.
It's amazing. So we just started like talking, and it was kind of like one of those things where it was like, timing met like preparation. It was kind of like luck, because at the time I've been thinking about starting a podcast, and she had been talking to her agency about also doing the same thing. And she just asked me one day, she's like, would you ever want to do this? And I was like, yeah, as a matter of fact, yes. Cause I had been like talking to other people like in New York and, you know, kind of putting it out there in the universe. So it came together perfectly.
That's so cool.
And that was like last year.
Well, I was gonna say, I feel like you guys were early to the game. Like, now it's like, I feel like everyone Lily and I know has a podcast, quite literally. I would say, which is great because we have one too, which more is more, honestly. But you guys got in at a really good time, and the show is so good, and I could talk to you about it forever. But today we actually have a little overshare topic that I feel like is perfect for you.
Okay.
We are going to dive into basically like the history of the interwebs. Lil, why don't you break it down?
Well, so this stemming from Jocelyn being concerned about what's going to happen to your name if there are no more red carpets. Do you have any backups? Are you going to change your handles? And then we were talking about, do you remember your first handle ever, your screen name back in the day? AIM or AOL?
Oh, on AOL. I did have AOL. Wait a minute.
I actually just recently, for a video, downloaded all of the old sound effects from AOL. And it's so weird how much they're still like, it just like brings you right back.
Oh my God. Do they sound this like, are they like, how do they sound? Are they just like.
There's definitely, I couldn't find like high definition versions.
Yeah. It's like very like grainy.
Yeah, they don't
like
new
pixel.
Ones.
Yeah.
It's still pretty rough. But like the. I feel like the AOL, you've got mail.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just like the welcome, the even just like the weird little like pit tones. I'm not even going to try and make the noise because I know it's not going to sound like it.
And you guys may or may not remember this. Do you remember dial up when you're
Absolutely.
Because it was like a very big controversy because if you're on the computer, then no one can call. So it's like, well, you can't play The Sims for that long if you're going to be connected to the internet. I'm wondering now, was The Sims connected to the internet? Or was I just on AIM for a long time?
I don't think I had that. I don't think I had Sims. It sounds like something that was probably fun. And my parents were not about that. They were like,
was a computer like educational only?
Well, yeah. And I don't know about you. So like, that's kind of what we're going to like dive into is like the history of like, I mean, the interwebs, essentially. It sounds a lot.
Basically, like what were you doing on your computer 10, not even 10, 15 years
20,
ago?
20 years ago.
Oh my God. You know, I remember, when did I join Facebook? I never had a MySpace, but I had the thing called Friendster.
Me too.
Do you remember Friendster?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Roxy, the thing that tripped me out about Friendster. Do you remember that, like, if you liked a guy or whatever, he could see how many times you looked at
the profile? Yes, the profile. So you were always, like, outed, like, no matter what.
It's like LinkedIn, how LinkedIn is now, where people can tell how many times you've looked at their profile. But, like, I don't remember much else about Friendster. Do you?
You could design your page or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you could like be like, okay, this is going on this side, like this is going in here, and it was like they could tell how many times you looked at their profile. I remember that.
Did like everyone have it?
I feel like it was like the precursor to Facebook. Yes, maybe it right
was.
Like
it was
but like was like, it like you and a few friends, or was it like everyone like in your class at school, or were was it something you talked to like strangers?
I feel like all my friends were on it.
Same.
Do you know what I mean?
I was in college at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was living in a sorority house, and like everybody in the sorority had it, and all the fraternities and like that whole circle of people, we were all on there. And it was absolutely the precursor to Facebook. That's how I would describe it. Absolutely. Yes.
Did you guys not have MySpace?
That was later. Wasn't
it? That was after. Yeah.
I had MySpace though, and then Facebook. So it would have been like in between.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You fell right in between that crack of like Friendster and Facebook, like the MySpace, you know?
Yes. I Googled Friendster and it came up like Friendster.com. So I click on it thinking maybe it still exists.
Right.
Goes to a landing page where it's Friendster is taking a break. The break was effective June 14th, 2015. Looks like they're still on it. And it says that the redesigned Friendster came through with an enduring passion to make a difference. It was a gaming community, apparently. And they say, however, due to the evolving landscape in our challenging industry, the online gaming community did not engage as much as we had hoped. Profound development in the gaming industry has also led us to rethink our strategic priorities.
Oh my God. So they literally put that on the homepage now.
Yep.
A Friendster, which I'm actually shocked even still exists, but you know, it like gets me thinking too, which I didn't even have a cell phone or an email address until I turned 8, until I was like in college.
Yeah. I was just going to ask when did you get your first computer?
When I moved to college, my parents got me, do you remember Roxy, the brand Gateway that like,
yes,
that's what I had. It got a virus like the day I got it, basically.
Fun fact. Did you know that Ghislaine Maxwell used to date the CEO, owner of Gateway?
Of course she did.
I found that out yesterday.
Of course she did. But do you remember, like, what was your first, like, phone?
My phone was, like, was it the flip phone? It might have been, like, my first phone. No, you know what? I'm sorry. I take that back. It was... I don't even know what the brand was, but it was like this kind of like brick sort of contraption.
Was it Nokia perhaps?
Yes, it was Nokia. Oh my God, it was Nokia.
Did
yes.
you have your custom case that you bought at a kiosk in the mall?
Oh my God, I did. I did. Because everyone lived for their custom case, you know?
And how old were you guys when you got them?
I was 18. Funny story. My parents were so pissed because I went to college. And you know, like, I don't know if it's like at your college campuses, but at mine, they had the people set up that were like trying to get everyone to sign up for credit cards and for cell phones. So, of course, I did both. And my parents were like, are you kidding us? Like, because, of course, I had no credit at that point. So it was like, everything was like coming back to them. And
time to build it.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, back in those days too, like the cell phone, it wasn't like now where you can roam and just like chat freely anywhere, you know, at any time. Like there were like roaming charges. Remember?
Oh my gosh,
right? So if you went out of your state or like out of the state, it was like double the price.
And texting, once that was a thing, you went out of your texting plan, oh my God. I remember there was a time that I was texting a guy and my mom got the bill at the end of the month and it was like hundreds of dollars because they charge you so much for the overage fees. And it was like, you sent more than 50 text messages. Nope. You owe us $300. It was a long time.
Totally. You know,
what's interesting about the concept of roaming charges is that mm-hmm. I remember it wasn't even just like leaving your state. It would be like leaving your county or like leaving the general area. I had an $800 cell phone bill my freshman year of college. And my dad is still mad about it 20 years later, by the way. And
repaid it.
Actually before texting, because my parents wouldn't even let me have texting on my phone plan, which, by the way, such a snobby problem to have. Like, my parents are paying my phone bill. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
No, but honestly, it wasn't even available on phones until, like, I think it was probably not until, like, I want to say, like, 2004-ish.
Mm-hmm. Which was, like, I was 22. So,
like, you're out of college by the time texting. Like, could you imagine everyone listening not having texting in college? Because I cannot. I literally got a phone when I was in sixth grade.
You know what is so funny now that you're bringing up texting is that my husband and I, when we met, because we met in 2003, there was no texting. So I actually had to pick up the phone to talk to him. Because, you know, now, like, with people dating and everything else, like, people text. Like, and I think that's why a lot of, like, the meaning of, like, what they're saying gets lost, you know, in translation somewhere, because no one's picking up the phone to talk to people anymore,
but
you know?
Also, I feel like texting is such an art in itself that, like, if you can't communicate in, like, your texting communication form, then that's hard to have a relationship with someone, too.
Absolutely screwed. How did you meet your husband, by the way?
Yes,
okay,
tell me.
So here's how it happened.
You guys are so cute, and you have a daughter, and you're just like the most little, like, adorable family ever.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. Thank you, my love. We met because it was back in 2003. Actually, I had lived in New York during 9/11.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah. And so I was out there, like, kind of, you know, saw it all happen. So my parents convinced me, I'm originally from Dallas. So they convinced me to move back home to Dallas, to kind of set up shop there and, like, see how things went. So I was like, great. I felt like I went back there. I moved. I, like, started my business, like, did the whole thing. And I had a girlfriend, that I went to USC with, that I went to college with, who was doing PR for this event. And she said, hey, come out, you know, like, to Miami. I'm doing this amazing event. We'll even make, like, a girls' weekend of it. It'll be amazing. So great. I go out. Turns out the guy whose event it was my husband. So he had hired her to do the PR. And it was, like, one of those crazy things where from the moment I saw him, I just knew. I knew it was different. Like, in my gut. Like, and I had always heard the kind of thing, because I'm romantic in some ways, but I'm a little cynical too. And I, you know, people always saying, oh, when you know, and this and that, you know, and I'm like, please, you know, like, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's like whoever you end up with, whatever. But it was like this weird, deep feeling in my stomach. And he to this day will tell you the story that we were having lunch. Myself and my girlfriend, and he walked into this place, and I literally had a burger in my mouth, like like ketchup dripping.
Yes, I love it. Just
getting in there like animal style, like Texas girl, you know. And he was just like, "That was so sexy because you just didn't even give a shit about, you know, what was going on, like anything else. You were just like enjoying your burger. You didn't care. You weren't like, oh my god, I need like, you know, a salad or whatever. Like you were just yourself." And I'm like, pretty much. So yeah, we hit it off that weekend and then ended up getting engaged 7 months later. But I was living in Dallas and he was living in New York.
Oh, that's crazy. And now you're living
you're
in
like,
LA.
Actually, I just left.
Totally. And so I chose to move back to New York to be with him and, you know, have our engagement together there. And then I convinced him because he is like a diehard East Coaster from Boston. I was like, let's just go back out to the West Coast because I had come out here for school. So I was like, you're going to love it. It'll be great. He's like, fine, I'll give it a year. Cut to, that was 2006.
You're like, it's been 15 years and we're still here.
He's like, oh, this weather is actually very nice.
Exactly. That's totally what it is. Totally. He's like, I can't go back now to those winters. I'm like, see, I told you.
I would never leave my apartment if I lived in New York in the winter.
It was brutal, you guys. And we had two like huge German shepherds that we would have to walk no matter what.
Nope.
rain, snow, sleet, hail, like whatever it was. I remember so many times I'd walk because they, you know, you get sideways rain there and my umbrella would blow backwards and I'd be like trying to walk with the dog.
Oh my God, this sounds terrible. Thank God you moved.
Totally. I definitely have FOMO when I go back to New York because it is amazing.
And it's no. LA also kind of sucks too.
I know. It's so, like a double-edged sword.
I get it.
But you know what? Like even, and this is something that I didn't do, but that I kind of wish I had now just for like context. But like you met your husband at an event in real life. I feel like, well, we're living through COVID right now, but also like, that doesn't happen anymore. That's Everyone weird. I know meets like online or in an app. Did you ever try like any of the early dating apps?
You know what? I never did. But I mean, I probably would have if I, you know, like hadn't met him.
But you remember like back in the day, there was like a stigma. Like in 2005, yes. if you were like trying to yes. date online, people would be like, oh, what's wrong with you? Like yes. people actually like thought it was really weird. Back then.
Yes. They did. You're right. It was a stigma. It was like, oh, you can't meet people. Like you have to use like an app or like, you know, you have to do it this way. But now it's like, it's so normal because people are so busy, I feel like. And, you know, women, we're all working, we're doing our thing. Like,
one, I feel like any guys that I would meet like out at work or at events and stuff were always like either in relationships, married, or just like not gay. So just like not available in some capacity.
Totally not available.
But that it just like if I was only relying on meeting people out, it wouldn't happen.
No, not at all. Absolutely.
I guess it's also that I'm not going to the right places or like actively seeking out places where it's like single people hang out. But I don't know.
But the thing too, I wonder about like the dating apps, because it's so easy to meet people on them. I wonder if like now that's sort of a scapegoat for people like, oh, well, if I don't, you know, this person doesn't work out, I've got, you know, this person, this, you know, and it's like a too constant convenient. Flow.
Absolutely, yes! I think it is.
Right? That's what I wonder. But I mean, I've heard great success stories from the dating apps too. So
my sister met her husband online. Did she? Yeah. And like, my sister's also like, we got to have her on this show because she listens and she's like, stop saying things about me that are not nice. I'm like, well, they're all true though. My sister's like on her first date asked her husband, I like you. Just want to know if the feeling is mutual. And he was like, he tells the story now that he's like, I thought she was crazy, but I thought it could be fun. So I stuck with it and here we are. You know what
I mean? Well, I love her directness.
And I always bring up, and I feel like we always question whether I made this up or not. Didn't she not, he didn't have a profile picture.
Oh, my sister's husband?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good question. We'll have to ask her at some
I feel like
point.
I always bring up that fact and you're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, I feel like it's too weird to make up. Feels too random, but I'm pretty sure that he didn't even have a profile picture and she still went on a date with him. So she was just like, you know,
really going for it. Really going for it.
But
Lil, I'm curious from you, like, cause you're younger and you grew up like with all of this, like you grew up with like MySpace, Facebook, whatever, like we did absolutely.
When I think of AIM, I think of like talking, like chatting with boys. It's like, I had more boyfriends in like middle school than I did in my entire adult life. And it's because like all you had to do was just like have one conversation online and then it's like, oh my God.
What was your screen? Do you remember your screen name?
Yeah. So I believe we've talked about before that I was really, really short until 10th grade. I had a growth spurt, but I was 4'10 going into high school. And now I'm like almost 5'9. Honestly.
Oh, wow.
She's tall.
Wow.
But so, and the doctor was like, you're going to be lucky if you hit 5'1". And I played basketball. And I remember just being devastated. And I'm like, because of my now ruined future in basketball? Great. Cool. You didn't have one anyway. But yeah, it was a friend had nicknamed me the Putian because I've never read it, but Gulliver's Travels. There's Lilliputians.
Same. Never read it.
Apparently there's Lilliputians and they're like little people. They're like, that are like tiny little, I don't know.
Little
it's
nugget.
Like, it's like a character. So she used to call me the Putian. So it was the Putian 2184.
Oh, so there's already more Putians. Who knew it was such a hot name? 2184. That's and a lot.
The number was like, I needed to add something. And I think I literally just like went down on the keyboard and that was what came up. And now it still is like in random usernames that I need to make for things.
No, and you know, it's funny because my parents were very like strict. Like I didn't have like a phone. Well, I feel like when I was growing up too, like not many people had like their own phone or their own laptop. Like I don't even think laptops really existed like until those.
Well, it's just like when they all came out and then it's like when they all became affordable enough that people were all buying
them. Right. But Apple had those really colorful ones and those are the first ones that I remember. Uh-huh. So my parents wouldn't let me use AOL or AIM or whatever because I would be tying up the one phone line in our house. And so when I moved to college my freshman year, people were like shocked and appalled that I was not on this AIM thing that I didn't even know about. And so a guy in my dorms who ended up becoming a really good friend of mine, he's like, you got to make a name. And he's like,
it would be like not being on Instagram now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like the same
thing. Weird. Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know what to make it. I don't have an idea. He's like, well, what are like three of your favorite things?
Oh, oh no.
So my screen name was Red because it's my favorite color. Diamond. Hello. Great. Ocean. My screen name was Red Diamond Ocean.
That's a very.
It kind of sounds like a stripper.
Such an AIM name though.
Exactly.
Red Diamond Ocean on stage one.
Oh my gosh, if I ever do become a stripper, I mean, if I ever hit that confidence level, I might have to use it. But the other thing I think of all the time is like, I remember when Facebook was first invented, you had to have a college email address.
Yes. So
my very first message is me messaging one of my best girlfriends to this day saying, this Facebook thing is so stupid. Why does anyone care about what other people are doing? It's never going to last. Cut to 20 years later, and I've built my whole career on the internet. Like, for you, is it ever crazy, Roxy, that like your entire career and life and everything is based on something that like we did not have growing up?
Yes, because who could have ever imagined this, right? It just, and it keeps going. It keeps going.
Round of applause for you guys adapting.
We're the grandmas. No, you guys are both much younger than me. But no, but it's true. It's like, how could you ever have imagined this? Now we've got TikTok and Twitch and Instagram and like the whole, you know, it's just like, it's never ending. So it's like, in some ways it is kind of like daunting to think about, but in other ways it's like kind of exciting because we've really been able to like create our own paths, right? Like
very, very true.
It's funny that you mentioned TikTok and stuff because I actually tweeted the other day after seeing, I think I watched a bunch of TikToks and then there's so many apps now and I can't keep up with all of them. And I tweeted, I finally understand why old people just give up. Like I used to always be like, come on, gotta like keep the times. And I'm like, never mind. There's so many things. My brain doesn't have, I can't, I'm no energy is left for this. I just, I'll stick to the ones I know.
But your daughter, Roxy, is she first grade or kindergarten?
First grade this year.
Does she know how to like code already?
Oh my God. Basically. I mean, she literally can unlock. The problem is we gave her the passwords to the devices. Mm. So I'll walk in the room and she will have the iPad like already opened, like doing something, doing like, you know, pictures. She loves to take pictures and videos. So she's like,
that's the thing. I think it's dangerous, but it's also, I think could be so cool because like, I know I taught myself how to edit in high school because I was able to learn how to like pirate all of my software and everything. But that was like, even 5 years earlier, you wouldn't have been able to do that. So like me being able to do that ended up helping me in like, making me more prepared for my career now. She can literally like learn how to do anything. Like I feel like they have so many resources. So that aspect is really cool. But then the other aspect is like, how do you control the resources? Do you have parent controls?
Yes. We have her like little devices are not hooked up to like the outside world per se. I mean, we have like kids things downloaded on her devices, like little games and stuff. But she can't really access. Like,
on like, the dark web.
Exactly. We have a parental control on the dark web. And there's no real like phone attached, but she has like an app that like sort of mimics a phone. So she can only like call her, my husband and I. So she thinks she's like making phone calls, you know, to the outside world, but really not.
She thinks she has full access.
Yeah, totally. Totally full access. But it was interesting. At her school, they started tech class last year in kindergarten. So it's like right from the beginning.
I mean, babies have iPads.
Uh-huh. Isn't it crazy? Like, they're like,
crazy. I feel right? like some adults I know need to join that kindergarten yeah. class, honestly.
Oh my God. No, you guys, seriously, like towards the end of the year last year, her tech teacher would give her assignments. I was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh my God, like, are you smarter than a kindergartner? I don't know.
I mean, genuinely, like third graders are full on coding. Like they are taking classes. And I'm like, I mean, I used to know I could do like HTML on my MySpace profile. But
right. I'm scared of the math classes. Like when she gets older, I'm like, oh my God, no. You guys.
Thank God for tutors. But I will say, and this is like, you know, this show that we do is obviously very silly and lighthearted. But I have to say, the thing that you posted of your daughter, what she had written at school, like the three words, break that down, because I was like almost gonna like shed a tear. I was like, whatever you're doing as a mom is like something I need to like write down for future.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. Thank you. So basically, you know, we call it fun sheets in the summer. It's really homework. We're like, time to do fun sheets.
And she's
like,
trust me with that shit. Hey.
It's all marketing. It's all marketing. So she had this book, and it was like a handwriting book and like learning how to compose sentences and stuff like that. So one of the sentences was, Jeff is brave. And what she was supposed to do is just copy the sentence, like word for word, so she learns how to handwrite. But I was like, yeah, I don't like the way that this is like feeling right now. So I looked at the sentence and I read the sentence to her, you know, and we talked about brave. And I said, I want you to write a sentence based on what we just talked about bravery. And so she wrote, her name is Bray. So she wrote, Bray is a girl. And I said, what? Oh, interesting. I'm like, why did you choose that sentence? And she goes, because mommy, when I think about bravery, I think about being a girl because girls are brave. And I am a girl. And I was like, oh my God, she's totally getting it. You know, like,
oh my gosh. I was dying when I saw that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. She just, you know, like for me as a mom, I'm like, because so much of the time, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, to be honest. Like, you are just throwing spaghetti on a wall, seeing what sticks. It's just that. And it's like, you know, so much of the time, too, you're thinking to yourself, how do I not screw this child up? Like, how am I going to, like, give her, you know, the tools that she needs to, like, go into the you know, outside world? But it was just, like, one of those moments where I was like, okay. Just like a little, not like a pat on the back, but just like a little tap on the back. Like, okay, good. That was
like a sigh of relief.
Yes. Yeah. Like a sigh of relief. Cause I really, especially when you're raising little girls, I think now, like, it's just about instilling them with so much confidence and like, you know, so much of the world, even as forward as we are, even from like 10, 15, 20 years ago, is still not caught up in a lot of ways. You know, it's still like, you see sentences like that in the book. Jeff is brave. Why is Bray not brave? You know, in
yeah,
the book.
Exactly.
Why is it not Claire is not brave or whatever, you know? So I think for me, like that moment, that's why I posted it on my Instagram on Red Carpet Roxy, because I just, to me, it was like one of those moments where I was just so proud of her. You know,
and of you too, because here's the thing. I had to have my driver's permit for like a long time. I had to go to college for 4 years to graduate. You get pregnant, you have a baby, and then one day later, they're like, go home, have fun, good luck. Like, what the F? Like,
there should be more tests and studying and certificates involved.
Yes, yes, literally. And I don't know about you guys. I didn't have like a ton of experience with kids before I had her. I mean, I did babysitting growing up, like here and there.
I barely did that.
Yeah, like really not like a huge ton, like a wealth of like knowledge to draw on. I mean, I had friends who had babies, but still like not.
I feel like you're either like a person that's been around kids and gets it, and then someone that just like has never been around ones that you have to be even remotely responsible for.
Yes.
And you do anything more than just look at.
Yes, yes. And I remember being in the hospital. I had to have a C-section, but it felt like a vacation in being in the hospital because you have nurses coming in and like checking on you. Like everyone's sort of waiting on you in a way. Like it's like, and really, I mean, you're feeding the baby, but you're not doing much because you're laid up from the C-section. So David, my husband, was like changing her diapers and, you know, doing all the things. So once we got home from the hospital, that was like a kick in the stomach. I was like, what now? Like, what's going on? Like,
what do you mean?
I have no idea. Yeah. Who, like, no one's coming home with us? Like, they're not here to help us? Like, did you want...
Where are the helpers?
Yeah, where are the helpers? And those first 2 weeks, you guys were like, what? I mean, my hormones were like all over the place. I was like screaming at my husband, my poor mother. I was like yelling at, like, I just like didn't know. My boobs were sore from breastfeeding. I was like recovering from the surgery. I'm like, what? I mean, eventually we figured it out, but it was literally that those first few weeks home from the hospital were literally like the lowest point for me.
And that is why girls are brave. Okay. Right there.
Yes.
There you freaking go. Okay. Exactly. Lily, I feel like you have to like tell Roxy about your biggest fear of having a child.
Tell.
And I don't want this to come across as like the fear is not that they have like a learning disability or something.
Right.
It's that I specifically am unable to teach them how to talk. Not being able to talk is going to be my fault because I didn't teach them right. And first. Like everyone's like, but Lily, you don't like that's not. It's not like a method you use. Like it's they just like learn. And I'm like, I know, and I know it's irrational, but for some reason it's gonna be like they're gonna be like 10 and people are gonna be like, wait, but you didn't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I feel like I resonate with that too, because you know why? It's actually sort of daunting to think that like a child can learn a language, like speaking, like, because you're like, this is like a baby. Like, how are they eventually going to get to this point where they're actually like carrying on a conversation?
I think that's it. My brain can't comprehend that. And right? I'm just like, I get them repeating things, but like, how do they know?
It's amazing. Even like starting from when they're so young, they're like freaking sponges. So like, even when you think they're not listening, they're listening. They're picking all that stuff up, right? I mean,
not to compare babies to puppies, but my dog, literally some of the words that he knows, I'm like, you're a genius. Like, I don't understand how he has gotten to the point that he understands it, but he does. And I'm like, if he can do it, then, I mean, it makes sense. But like, oh my God, it's mind-blowing to me.
It's my blank. Well, did you know that dogs can know up to 600 words?
Yes, because I've watched many videos.
Yes, yes.
Where they press the buttons. Yeah. And there's one where they send they have named all of his toys, and they literally have like specific individual names, and it'll be like, go get so and like Moose, and goes in the other room into a pile of hundreds of toys and finds the specific toy, brings it back. Which, like,
amazing.
My dog does that with, like, 4 toys.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows which one I'm saying or if it's just his favorite, but I only
he's
ever ask
He's definitely playing
one.
The odds. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Roxy, we could talk to you forever, and we would actually love it if you could stay for our final segment.
Sure. Okay. That would be so fun.
So long, farewell. I hate us so much more now.
All right, Lil, do you want to break down what this is all about?
Yes. So this is our share well segment. So it's farewell, but then we're sharing something that brought us joy this week, because Joss and I also start off the episode telling everyone what we're over and complaining about things. So we figure we should end it on a lighter note. Do you want to kick us off?
Oh, yes, yes. What brought me joy this week? You know, I think talking to Glennon Doyle on the podcast this morning.
I mean.
Right. Just casual, you know, like, by the way, you guys, this normally like does not happen. So I am like, so like excited about it.
You should be.
Oh my gosh. Ugh, it's just, she just was so, so amazing and so relatable. And she just, you know, she sort of gave me some help with my daughter. My daughter's very sensitive. Mm-hmm. So she was really sort of coaching me on, because I think part of my problem is I'm so scared about sending her out into the cold, cruel world. Totally. And she's like, right? And she's like, no, she needs to feel pain. I mean, she needs to feel safe and held, but you've got to let her experience things and don't try to always fix the problem, you know? And it's like, that's my first reaction normally is go in, fix the problem, you know? So I think Glenn and Doyle just basically telling me to like, relax, it's going to be okay. It's probably what gave me joy today.
I think Glenn and Doyle just helped me. Honestly, from what you just said. So,
solid reminder for everyone.
Right?
What about you, Lil? Have you talked to like Michelle Obama or anyone else this week?
No. Not a whole lot. Oh, crap. What brought me joy? I have had a not great couple days. And usually... people, if I've ever like, if my back ever is hurting a lot and I'm crying, my dog, people are like, oh, just like give Max a hug. And I'm like, my dog's like the opposite of a therapy dog. He's like scared of me when I'm crying. I think I've learned that it's like he's scared of my like in pain cry. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, is that, did he just bark? I think he's barking. I think he's scared of my like in pain cry and like frustrated, angry cry, I guess. But when I'm sad, he came over and he literally, I like just turned the lights off. I've been sleeping on the couch for some reason. And I laid down and he literally like, I'll send a picture that we can put in the YouTube one. He like came over and put his head, and he doesn't usually cuddle with me when we're sleeping. We're like on different cushions, but he came over and curled up in a little ball and put his head on my head and slept there. And it was just like the sweetest moment ever.
That's sweet. See, he's warming up to you. There's I love that. There's
several moments that happen. It is like, I'll give him a hug and he like leans into it or something that I'm like actively in the moment being like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Because Roxy, do you adopt dogs or have you fostered dogs?
Yes.
Too? Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, three, we have currently three adopted dogs, which we got one in quarantine, like the biggest one, of course, the puppy. Yeah. That's like crazy. But yes, that's a big thing for us. We love animal rescue in this house. So we do adopt.
Well, Lily rescued her dog from China.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, my God. Okay, girl, that is some good stuff.
He's a genius, truly. Like, I lucked out.
Does he know Mandarin?
Honestly, in the beginning, he was so scared of everything in the beginning. And I remember being like, he just like doesn't really know how to be a dog. And my mom's like, well, I mean, he doesn't speak the language. So I'm like,
that's true.
Cool. Thank you, Mom.
Mandarin might be his first language.
Next.
That's true. We need to like get over an interpreter ASAP.
Right?
There he is. Well, I love how you guys both share like these deep things. And I'm like, well, mine is definitely food. Mine is food related.
Oh, let's hear it. I love to eat.
So it is lunchtime. So obviously, like, you know, my husband and I, like, we love food. He's Italian. Mm. Like, nothing brings him more joy than eating, which I think is great because life is all about simple pleasures, right? Mm-hmm. But we can't go anywhere. We've done, like, some takeout here and there or whatever. But we love sushi. And we go to, like, Sugarfish or sushi, like, kind of frequently, but not recently. For the first time ever, I got Postmates from Sugarfish. Have you ever done that? Are you a sushi person?
Yes, I love sushi. And actually, we've been doing the Sugarfish Postmates and it's genius.
I love it because for people who like live in a place where they don't have access to the amazingness that is Sugarfish, it comes in this like this box. And when you open it, it's also like, it's a gorgeous box. Mm-hmm. Whoever is designing those should be making
the packaging is like,
You open this box and it has images of all of the different types of sushi that are inside the box. And then it literally tells you like what order to eat them in and what sorts of sauces to use. Mm-hmm. And it just, it made me so happy. It made me feel like I was going places.
Right?
Kind of sad, but also awesome.
Like a slice of normal life, right? It's like sushi, like back in the, you know, day before COVID.
I know.
You can do that.
what are you going to do when this is over? Like, where's the first place you're going? Or like, are you going to go to Texas? Are you going to go to New York? What's happening?
Yeah. I think I'm going to travel for sure. I think I'm going to like book a trip somewhere. My sister lives in Barcelona. Ooh. I kind of want to probably like try to shack up there for a minute or two until she kicks me out.
Right? You should.
Right? Right? Just to like get away. Because I mean, you guys, this is like going on. I think we were talking about it on the podcast earlier. It's like day 200 or something of like the quarantine. Like summer is pretty much canceled. Like it's just, you know, it's over.
I know.
Like we're not doing the things that we enjoy doing and being social and like, for extroverts,
it just doesn't feel like there's anything to look forward to.
No, there's no end in sight.
I know. I would like to just invite us to go to Barcelona with you.
Yes, please. I would love there.
Tell your sister we're staying there.
Tell that sister of yours. We'll be seeing her soon. And, you know, even like, you know, COVID and this whole like stay at home order and everything has been so hard, but it's been so cool to be able to connect with people like this. And it's so good to see you because I can't even remember the last time I saw you in person. Actually, I do remember, but it's been too long. So I'm glad that we could do this.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, you guys.
Before we go, and we'll have all the info in the description box and in the info section on YouTube, but where can people find you and the podcast?
Okay. So you can find me at Red Carpet Roxy with a Y on all my socials,
for now.
All the handles. Yes. For now. Exactly. Until I change to Zoom Carpet Roxy. And then my website is redcarpetroxy.com. And I was covering red carpets, but I've had to pivot a little bit. So doing some other things on there. And then our podcast is Women on Top, which is Women on Top on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. And Women on Top Official is our handle on Instagram, and Women on Top Podcast is our handle on Facebook. So come join us because it's always a good time.
You should, because I think you guys do a really great job on your show. Obviously you have like the journalism background. And so like, I can tell that you're really listening and asking like really good, juicy follow-ups, but it feels like a really great just combo with girlfriends. And I love that so much. So keep up the great work. And thank you for hanging out with us. And for all of you guys listening or watching this on YouTube, hit the comments and let us know what your original AIM screen name was. I'm dying to know.
The more embarrassing, the better.
And we will see you guys later.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.